opportunity that you've given us to come together in prayer tonight. We just ask for the presence of your Spirit to guide us and to lead us in our prayer tonight. Our hearts, our minds, and our spirits are coming into one accord to be in alignment with what heaven has for this hour. And Father, when our prayer is said and done, all glory and all honor and all praise will be given to your name for all that you have done for us. We know that this is a day that you have made. We are going to rejoice and we are going to be glad. I pray for every man, everyone on the prayer line tonight, that Father, you empower them with by your Spirit. You meet every need that they have, wherever they are and whatever they are going through. You show yourself to be mighty. You said your eyes are going to and fro in the earth looking for those whose hearts are loyal to you, that you might show yourself mighty on their behalf. Show yourself mighty on the behalf of those that are on this prayer line tonight. In the name of Jesus, meet them at their point of need. Whatever they need, O God, show yourself to be the all-sufficient God. You said you will supply not just some, but you will supply all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now supply all their needs. Supply comfort for those that need comfort. Supply healing for those that need healing. Bring deliverance for those that need deliverance. Bring breakthrough for those that need breakthrough. In the name of your Son we pray, and in the name of your Son we believe. I want to open up by just reading a scripture here tonight. I'm in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. I'm in the 22nd chapter. This is the last verse in the last chapter in that verse. The last chapter in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, that is. And I am going to read Revelation chapter 22, verse number 8 to verse number 11. Revelation 22, verse number 8 to verse number 11. And it says, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and all those who keep the words of this book. Worship God,' he says. And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. For he who is just, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still.'" And verse number 14 says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." See, what I want to say is that it just tells us that the John began to see things that were happening in the heavens after he had heard the things that he had heard and seen the things that he had seen, because the angel was showing him that. And John says that, "I fell down before the feet of the angel who showed me these things." But the angel said to him, "Do not do what you are doing, because I am a fellow servant and your brethren and for those who keep the commandments of God." But the angel simply says to him, "Worship God. Worship God." So tonight I want us just to be encouraged that no matter how magnificent and beautiful the celestial beings that we see, or even the signs and wonders that are happening around us, even the men that are being used by God mightily, we are not supposed to bow down and worship them, But it says worship God. Somebody say amen. It says worship God. And it says that in the verse that we've read there, it says, let he who is unjust, let him be unjust. But what I want to predicate that is on verse number 10. When you read the book of Daniel, Daniel was being told to seal the prophecy, to seal the word until the time has come. But when you read the verse number 10, it says now, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Daniel was being told, seal these things because the time is not yet. But John is being told now, these things do not seal, but make these things known, because the time is now. So I want to let you know, just echoing the words spoken by Isaiah, he says, sow unto yourselves in righteousness, or righteousness. He says, the time has come and the time is now for us to seek God. We cannot afford to wait any longer for us to seek God. The time has come for us to seek God. And I want to predicate our prayer as well on a few things. And the few things that I want to predicate our prayer on is that, number one, tomorrow is promised to no man. I want to let you know, ever since Jesus died on the cross, that his return is imminent. His return is very close. He says, you don't know the hour or the time when the Son of Man is going to come. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Which means whenever he left, his return has always been close by. It's always imminent. It's always near. But as we are waiting on his return, because it is near, we have to take a posture for us to seek the face of God. And as we are beginning to seek the face of God, notice I said we have to begin seeking the face of God. Because sometimes we find ourselves living in a very materialistic society where all the things that we are seeking for daily provision. We are seeking for God to meet our needs. We are seeking for God to bring us jobs, bring us provision, bring us opportunities. We are seeking for God to bring deliverance and breakthroughs. But nobody is really seeking God just for who he is, just for being God. Nobody is seeking for more of God in their lives. They are seeking just for God to bring provision. And I want us to pray tonight just for us to just pray for more of God to come into our lives. Is that okay with everybody? Just for us to seek for the presence of God to come into our lives. That we are not just seeking his arm, but we are seeking the face of God. We are seeking the praise of God, the presence of God. David said, you know, one day, he says, the thing that I desire the most is just to be in the presence of God, just to behold the beauty. And the Apostle Paul said, I would love to apprehend that which has apprehended me. I would apprehend it yet, but I would love to apprehend that thing. And just that to be the presence, to be in the presence of God is more than enough for me, one song says. It's just more than enough for me just to be in the presence of God. And it says, the Lord is the portion of our inheritance. The Lord is the portion of our inheritance. I want to let you know that the things of this world will change value. The things of this world will change value based on time. There's the law of depreciation. There's the law of decay. Things change value as you are living in time. But I want to let you know that God does not change his value. God is still God, no matter where we find ourselves. No matter what we're going through, I want to let you know God is still God, and God is still sitting on the throne. Somebody say amen. He's still sitting on the throne. I want to let you know that money is going to fail at some point in time. I want to let you know that men are going to disappoint us at some point in time. I want to let you know that our plans in life are going to disappoint us in some point in time. Our visions and our dreams in life are going to disappoint us at some point in time. The thing that we value the most, at some point in time, they're going to lose value and they're going to lose meaning. But I want to let you know that through it all, God will remain the same. God will remain the same. It is like this. Take me to a place where people will value money. As long as I'm with God, everything will be okay. Take me to a place where money has lost its value, and I'm still with God, and God is more than enough. God is more than sufficient. You may go into a place where there's an abundance, God is still relevant. Go into a place where there's insufficiency, God is still relevant. God is still God. And sometimes we get so overwhelmed by the situations in life that we begin to just look to God, not because we want Him, but we're looking for what God can do for us. Somebody say amen. Because we look for God, what God can do for us. And when God has done what we are asking for Him to do for us, we discard Him like a used rag. But I want to let you know, it is better for you to be with God in every situation. It is better to be with God, walking through whatever you're going through, because God will never change. And the Bible says God is never changing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means God is always going to be relevant. So I want to pray for tonight, just to encourage you to keep on holding on to your faith, to keep on putting your trust in God, to keep on believing in God, knowing that God is going to work things out on our behalf in the end. So Father, tonight we come knowing that we are not coming in our own name, but we are coming in the name of our Lord and Savior. Knowing that we are not coming in our own strength, but we are coming in the strength of Yeshua HaMashiach. Knowing that you have made us kings and priests, O God, unto yourself, and we are not coming, Father, empty-handed, but we come by the way of the blood of Jesus. And Father, we are not standing in our own righteousness, because our own righteousness does not qualify us to come and stand before the presence of God. But Father, the righteousness of our Lord and Savior is the righteousness that we stand in tonight as we pray. Father, I pray that tonight you hear our prayer, that you attend to our supplication. But the thing that we desire, God, tonight is we desire your presence. We want to feel your glory. We want to feel your presence where we are. Father, your word says in your presence there is a fullness of joy. We want to feel that tonight in the name of Jesus. Wherever they are praying from tonight, O God, not just physically, but Father, where they are praying from emotionally and spiritually, wherever their minds are, may they feel your presence in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, invade the place where they are praying. Let the atmosphere around them begin to change tonight, in anticipation for what is about to happen. Holy Spirit, agitate that place of their hearts that is only reserved for God, and begin to engulf and encompass every aspect of their being with the presence of God. May they begin to realize that, God, you are real. Even those that have known you, O God, may they begin to see that there is a deeper dimension in you that they have never ascended to. May they begin to realize that, God, your desire is to feel everything that is in them, to saturate every being, every fiber of their being with who you are. Let them be mindful, O God, that the very thoughts you have about them, O God, you want the very thoughts to saturate their minds. You say to us, God, let the mind that was in Christ be in us. Let the fullness of Christ dwell in us. Somebody say amen. The fullness of Christ dwell in you. And Colossians says that Christ, all things are in him, and he is in all things. The Bible says in John, Jesus said, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. Why? Because the fullness of the Father is in him. So what I want tonight, I want us to cry out, God, let the fullness of Christ be in us. Let the fullness of Christ be in us. So that when the world looks at us, they do not see us, but they see the Christ that is in us. The hope of glory that abides in us. As Christ is being formed in us, allow him, O God, to be fully formed in us. That our thoughts, O God, will be of him. Our words will be of him. Our desires will be of him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I know that there are many things that preoccupy our minds, preoccupy our thoughts. Our desires saturate us. the expectations that have been put upon our shoulders by the world saturate us. But Father, we have been put on a journey where we are seeking for the things that are not important when you are the most important thing in us. Father, tonight let there be a reversal of priorities. Let our priorities become right, that God, it is you that is the main priority in our lives. Seeking your face, your glory, and your presence, our priority in life. That when we begin to order the things of our day, may we order our day in such a way that it is your presence that we seek from the rising of a sun. It is your praise that we declare during the course of the day. And it is your praise that we sing at the end of the day for the great things that you have done. Father, I remember the words you said by the prophet Isaiah when you said you comfort those that mourn. We seek for the comforter tonight. We seek for the one that heals, not the healing, but for the one that heals. We seek not for the deliverance, but we seek for the deliverer. We seek not for the breakthrough, but the one who gives the breakthrough. Somebody say hallelujah. I know that sometimes we are here and we are seeking for a prayer to be answered, but it is better, I tell you, to seek for the one who answers prayer. Somebody say amen. The one who answers prayer. The one who answers prayer. Father, tonight, let somebody understand that it is you that they need. It is you that they need. In every way, it is you that they need. And Father, as they are seeking your presence, let their intention be not to proclaim that they have been in the presence of God, but Father, let their desire be just to bask and dwell in your presence. In you, O God, there is life. In you, there is hope. And in you, there is an expectation. Father, in you, they will find the fullness of life and the meaning of their existence in you. Everything that they desire, O God, is not outside of you, but it is in you. As you spoke the children of Israel, when you told Moses, there's a place that I have chosen to put my name. And you say they have to seek that place so they can come and bring their sacrifices to you and be able to eat it in your presence. It is in your presence, O God, that we desire to be. It is in your presence that we long to be. It is in your presence that we want to move. It is in your presence that we want to abide. Holy Spirit, you know the way to approach the presence of God. You know the way to bring us in. The way that was made by the blood, you know how to bring us in. We don't want to be in the outer court tonight. We don't want to be in the inner court tonight, but we want to be in the holy place where we can behold the beauty of our Savior, where we can sit at his feet. And I'm just hearing that song says, come running to the mercy seat. Come running to the mercy seat. That's where Jesus covers you. Tonight, I pray in the name of Jesus for somebody who is discouraged, who will run to the mercy seat, into the presence of God, and find encouragement. That somebody who is in a place of weakness will run to the mercy seat, and they will find strength. Somebody who is brokenhearted will run to the presence of God and be comforted and be healed. I pray that tonight, as you are desiring for the presence of God, Everything that is in God be made available to you. Everything that is in God be made available to you. He said in John, in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, all these things shall be added what? Added unto you. That means if you are seeking God and his righteousness, everything else that you need will be added unto you. That means it's going to be given unto you as a byproduct. See, you have to know the law of priority. And the law that is established by the order of things. That if you attain the thing of the highest order, you are automatically given the things that are underneath it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And what I'm saying that is, I want to make you, or to get you to a point of understanding, that in terms of the arrangement of kingdoms, the kingdom of the highest order is the kingdom of God. And if you gain the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the kingdom, or the kingdom of vegetation, the kingdom of the stratospheres, that is all under the authority of the kingdom of God. If you attain the kingdom of God, then all those things automatically come under your authority. Somebody say amen. They automatically come under your authority. So your priority now is to have the thing of the highest order. And the thing of the highest of order is God. If you have God, because everything that is there is subject to God, it is automatically going to come your way. So your priority is to seek the presence of God. John 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And it says, let him who hears say, come. And it says, let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. If you are thirsty, there is a place for you to draw the waters of life in God. Somebody say amen. If you have a desire to drink the waters of life, those waters of life are in God. All you have to do is have the desire, and not just to have the desire. It is one thing to desire the presence of God. But the next thing, desire must always provoke an action. If you say you desire to be in the presence of God, is it not enough just to proclaim that desire? But there has to be a corresponding action to your desire. That means you have to draw closer. How do you draw closer to the presence, to come into the presence of God? For some, it has to be by prayer and fasting that you come into the presence of God. For some, it has to be when you get yourself in a place where you can just worship God without any restraint. Worship God with everything that is within you, and God will open up a way for you to come into his presence. But when you are coming in there, what qualifies or disqualifies your worship is not the words you say. It's the posture you take. And when I talk about posture, I am not just talking about the posture of the outward, but I'm speaking about the posture of the inward. The Bible says God is a spirit, and he seeks for those that worship him in spirit and in truth. So what qualifies your worship is spirit and truth. That's what qualifies your worship. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. I know that God is bigger than this world. I know that you and I can never build a habitation that is worthy to be able to be fully indwelled by God. But yet God said, I will inhabit your praises. That means when you begin to lift up your praises unto God, you are building a habitation for the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes to inhabit your praises, God takes over everything that he inhabits. So if you want the presence of God, for some, I said it's going to be prayer and fasting. For some, it's going to be a radical level of worship because of how much of God you desire in your life. And for some, it's going to be an extraordinary level of sacrifice just to get the presence of God. Romans 12 says, wherefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, if you are able to present yourself as a living sacrifice before God, I guarantee you the presence of God is going to be so pronounced in your life. And I want to let you know too that nothing remains unchanged in the presence of God. Nothing remains unchanged in your presence of God. So if you want something to change in your life, subject it not to the wisdom of man, but subject it to the presence of God, and that thing will change. It says the scripture we read some time before, says that God is rising up from his throne, and as his coming, mountains begin to melt, valleys begin to part. Because the Lord, when he comes, nothing remains unchanged. When the Lord comes, everything changes. So what am I saying tonight? Maybe you're having a financial difficulty in your life and you want that situation to change. Don't apply humanistic logic to it. But bring that thing into the presence of God and that thing will change. If there is sickness in your body, you can apply human logic to your sickness. But bring that sickness into the presence of God. Bring that sickness in the presence of God. And that sickness will change in the name of Jesus. So I told you, how do you bring the presence of God in your life? For some, it's going to be sacrificing, worshiping, fasting and praying. For some, it's going to be an extraordinary level of worship, an extraordinary level of praise. For some, I said, wherefore beseech you, I beseech you mercy, by the brethren, by the mercies of God, as you present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is going to be, for some, it's going to be an extra level or extraordinary level of giving that's going to bring you into the presence of God. Sometimes you have to be daring enough to do something that you have never done before for the kind of presence that you're looking for in your life. And I want to say this too tonight. God longs for you to come into his presence. And he wants you to long to be in his presence. Psalmist says, as a deer panteth for the water, my soul longs for you. It's a song we used to sing. Like a desert needs the stream, like a desert needs the rain, like an ocean needs the stream. We need you, God, like never before. We need you, God, like never before. Lord, begin to draw the strings upon our hearts that we may long for you, but we may hunger for you. That you become the desire of our hearts, our passion, the thing that we long for. Father, we long to be in your presence, to hear you, to hear your voice. We don't want to hear hearsay, but we want to hear from you. Say there are many things that are not available to those that are on the outward. Other things that cannot be revealed to those that are not friends. And there are things that are revealed to those that are friends. Yet still, there are other things that are only revealed to those that are sons. There are only other things that are revealed to those that are sitting with you in heavenly places. There are some things that can be seen by those that are in the outer court. And some things can even be heard by those that are in the outer court. But there are others, O God, that can only be heard, that can only be seen, can only be heard, can only be tasted, can only be smelled by those that are in your presence. Tonight, O God, let us not be ones that are just hearing things and wondering where is the God we are hearing. But let us be able to say we see the face of our God and we hear the voice of our God. If you are mindful of the tabernacle of Moses, you realize that it wasn't just a way of hoji-poji coming in, but the tabernacle of Moses had a specific structure as to how you were going to enter in. As you are entering by the gates, there was going to be the brazen altar where there were sacrifices being given. There's going to be the basin where you're going to wash your hands. Then you're going to enter in the inner court after the sacrifices. So tonight, maybe for some, you are far away from God. All it needs is repentance, sacrifice, repentance, the brazen altar, the washing of the water by the word. As you are entering in, the Bible says, who shall ascend at the heel of God? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. So maybe it's going to be a season where repentance is going to be a part of your life. Father, I repent. The Bible says, if any man sees he has no sin, then he is a liar. So the Bible says, all men have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So we repent. Father, forgive us. It is me, O God, that has sinned against you. Forgive me, O God, for the things that I have thought that are not of you, for the things that I have done that are contrary to your will for my life. Repentance. Repentance allows you to approach the presence of God. As you are entering in, you get in the inner court, you're going to realize that there is the table of showbread, there are the 7 golden candlesticks, and there's a curtain that stands before you where the incense is required, burning every day. It's going to be revelation that is going to be revealed. There's going to be illumination by the Holy Spirit. There are some places you don't have access to until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus said to his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you have been endued by power from on high. Because there are some things that cannot be revealed to you by a man, but those things can only be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And because of revelation, we are able to come boldly into the presence of God by the illumination. But there is incense that has to go forth. The incense is worship. The incense is prayer. It allows you to enter in to the most holy place. But as you're entering the holy place, you cannot come and stand before the altar of God empty-handed. Because the only way you stand by the altar, once a year the high priest will enter in. And when he enter in, there has to be the blood of the sprinkling in the place. And we say we're not coming in our own name, but we are coming in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is because there is blood that is on the altar. Blood that is on the altar that allows us to enter in. So if you want to be in the presence of God, you have to go by the way of the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen. You have to go by the way of the blood of Jesus. That means there has to be salvation. There has to be the acceptance of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And that gives you access to come in the presence of God. To change you. To transform you. To renew you. To bring you the freshness and the newness of life in His presence. So tonight I've given you the keys. Given you the keys that you can apply to enter the presence of God. I did not give you a formula. I gave you the keys to say, God, I need your presence. I will not just talk about needing your presence, but God, I will do whatever is necessary on my part to find myself in your presence. Sometimes you just need to take some time during the day to say, God, tonight or this day, this hour, I set it aside just to say it is you and me. Don't be afraid of being by yourself with God, because some of us don't even know what it is like to be in the by the face of God all by yourself, to be in the presence of God all by yourself, to be calling upon the name of God all by yourself behind closed doors where nobody is seeing you. Some of us are crowd people. The only time that we worship is when there is a crowd, when there is noise. The only time that we pray is when there is a multitude and they are all shouting and we sneak our prayer in there. But I want to let you know, God is a personal God. He wants a relationship with you, not with a crowd. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be able to come into His presence by yourself. That means you have to be willing at some point in time to say, God, it's in the midnight hour by myself, yet I call upon your name. It is by the midnight hour that I find myself in a place where I'm going to lay my face on the ground and say, God, I need you. And I know the Bible says, if you knock, it shall be opened. If you ask, you shall receive. If you ask for the presence of God, which is your highest priority, I know God will respond and overshadow you with His Spirit and His presence. As you begin to experience the presence of God, I know that your life will never be the same. For some, we are crying out for power, for demonstration, but God wants to give us His presence. I would rather have the presence of God than power. I would rather have the presence of God than a miracle, because there is no greater miracle than being in the presence of God. Maybe for some, we would rather have a song to sing, but I would rather have a presence in my life. For some, they're looking for accolades to say, I prayed and God answered. I want to my prayer to be, I lifted up my hands towards the heavens and the presence of God saturated me. And when you begin to walk with God at that particular level of understanding and that particular level of desire, you're going to realize that life gets easier and easier as you go along. When I say life gets easier and easier as you go along, I'm not saying that things are going to get easier, but I'm saying that you're going to have the confidence to walk through whatever the enemy sent your way, because you know that God is with you all the way. Is walking with you. He is the God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the God who knows that He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our strong tower. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is our defender. And above all, He is our God that we can call upon. His name is marvelous. His name is magnificent. His name is Elohim. His name is Yahweh. His name is El Shaddai. Somebody say El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. And I want to let you know that He is the only God who is able to give you shalom, to give you peace that surpasses all human understanding. And because of that peace that God gives you, you can walk through every adversity. You can walk through anything, every obstacle, because the shalom. When you realize that God will give you a peace that surpasses all human understanding, you'll understand the words that David spoke when he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You will understand the words that David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in what? In the presence of my enemies." Why? Because in the inner being of who I am, God has given me shalom. God has given me peace. And because of that peace, no matter what I find myself in, it is enough for me. I want to let you know that right now, we are living in a fallen world. Right now, we are living in a fallen world being ruled by a fallen Lord, a fallen Lord. We are living in a world where men are becoming lovers of money and lovers of themselves. We are living in a world where people love other things more than they love their fellow man. Where that scripture that says, "Love thy neighbor as thou love thyself," has become the most difficult thing to live. But I want to let you know, in the midst of it all, there is still somebody who loves you, who doesn't judge you by your outward appearance, who doesn't look at how much you have in your bank account before he talks to you, who doesn't look at what you are wearing before he talks to you. Even God said, "What I have, come and buy without money." The waters that are flowing from the throne of God, he says, "Let he that hears hear, and let he that has a desire come and drink from the water, from the river of our God." Says there's a river that makes glad the city of our God. And that river, same river that Ezekiel saw, same river that Ezekiel saw, that is flowing from the house of God, that is flowing from the throne of God, is saying, "Come and drink." Jesus said, when he was speaking to the woman of the well of Samaria, he said to her, "If you had known who you are speaking to, you would have asked me for water to drink, because the water that I have, you will not thirst anymore." Somebody say hallelujah. You will not thirst anymore. This is water that is being drawn from the river of God. This is water that is being drawn from the river of God. And he says, if you hear and you have the desire, come and draw the water and drink, and you will not thirst anymore. If you are thirsting for righteousness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, he says, come and drink from the river of living water. Come and drink from the rivers of a living water. How do you drink from the rivers of living water? Is if you know how to enter into his presence. I want to let you know this tonight. You can never buy a miracle from God. You can never buy a breakthrough from God. You can never buy your deliverance from God. No matter how much money you put in the plate, you cannot buy your deliverance from God. Because if your deliverance was based on how much money you put in there, some of us wouldn't be standing where we are standing today. Because it would require a higher price for us to get our deliverance. But God said, the price required for everything that you need has been fully paid for by the blood of Jesus. Fully paid for by the blood of Jesus. Fully paid for. So all you have to do is come, have the desire. And God is saying, when you come, you can bring gifts unto God. But God says, what qualifies your gift is the intention of your heart, is the desire of your heart. That's what qualifies your gift. So tonight, your desire as you come. God, I'm not a millionaire. I am not a billionaire. I cannot even rub two nickels together or two pennies together. But God, I need your presence in my life. Consider the words of David. David says, search me, O God. Search my heart. And see if there be any iniquity in me. After he had said, O God, cleanse me with hyssop, that I may be clean. God said, by your works you cannot cleanse yourself. Cleansing is but by the blood of Jesus. And when God cleanses you, somebody say, you are clean indeed. When God cleanses you, you are clean indeed. I want to give you this illustration and I'll be done for the night. Let me give you this illustration and I'll be done for the night. And this is, I want to let you know that as you are coming before God, I told you God is not a respecter of persons. God does not respect you because of who you are. He respects you because of who he is. That's what God does. And I want to bring out this little scripture, this little illustration. And I'm just, let me just see if I can pull it up here. I didn't have it on my notes here, but as I was reading it, as I was praying, the Lord just gave me, reminded me of something that I written some years back. So I'm just pulling it out for you so I can show you what God is, what God says. I said you cannot cleanse yourself by yourself. You cannot make yourself holy and pure before God, but God does. Let me give you this little thing right here, that whenever you look at the tent that was established by Moses, when Moses was putting it together, there are several things, that there are several materials that Moses used when he was building the tabernacle. It had four coverings. You can find this in Exodus 26, verse number 1 to verse number 14. That's where it is, Exodus 26, verse number 1 to verse number 14. But I'm just going to summarize it for the sake of being expedient and the sake of my time and your time as well. The tabernacle itself had four coverings. The first was linen. The second was goat's hair. The third were ram skins dyed red. And the fourth was badger skins. Badger skins were covering, there was the covering on the outside. That is what you see. Okay? Remember when God sent Samuel to go and anoint David, God said to Samuel, I do not look at the outward appearance as man, but I look at what? I look at the heart. Now watch this. The way that God gave instruction to Moses for the setting up of the coverings of the tent, the thing that you saw outside was not a thing of beauty. They were the badger skin. Badger skin was ugly. The badger skin was dull. The badger skin was unattractive. But when you come from the badger skin, coming from the outside going in, you are going to see the ram skin dyed red. That sounds to me like the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you. Then you have got the goat's hair. The goat's hair, they are talking about sin offering. So you're going to have the blood of Jesus covering you. You're going to have the goat's hair, which is your sin offering. Then from there, you are going to have the white linen, fine white linen that covered inside. These things are standing for this. The outer covering, which is the badger skin, it's for protection. The dyed red skin or red ram skin is substitution, which is by the blood of Jesus. The goat's hair, sin offering. And then you have the righteousness, which is the white linen. But when you're looking from God's perspective, the thing that God sees, God starts seeing from inside out. He sees the white linen and he sees the sin offering and he sees the blood of Jesus before he can see your filth. Anybody hearing me? So, right now where you are standing, you may feel that you are not qualified to enter the presence of God because you know your mess, you know what you've done, you know your shortcomings. Well, I want to let you know that's like your badger skin. But because you are in Jesus, you are covered by the blood. When God sees you, He sees you from His perspective. You are covered in righteousness. That means you are in right standing with God, or Jesus. Do you know that once every year, the high priest will enter the holiest of holies? If he is not right with God, he will die. If he is not holy, he will die. Why am I saying if he is not right? If he is not in the right standing with God, he will die. Do you hear me? If he is not right standing with God, he will die. That means we, without the covering of his righteousness, if we come into his presence, we will die. But because you are in Jesus, covered by the blood, God sees the sin offering, and he sees that you are in right standing with him. And therefore, you can stand before the mercy seat, and you can be in the presence of God. I am hearing that song again. We need your presence. We need your presence. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Saturate the atmosphere. Saturate our hearts. Let God move upon us now to conform our desires to what He has, to conform us to the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior. Let the fullness of Christ dwell in us, that we may be like Him. That when the world looks at us, they will not see us, but they will see that who is the one who has fully indwelled us. Father, tonight, I just pray that I have ministered to somebody to know that they need the presence of God in their life, that they will apprehend that which you have revealed, that it's not about money, it's not about the bling bling, it's not about what they can get from you, but it's about being in your presence. It's about being in your presence. And if somebody cries out unto God for their salvation, cries unto God for your presence, I know that God, you will not withhold anything from them, but your presence is going to come. For some of you, over the next coming days, you are going to feel this overwhelming desire just to be by yourself praying. It's because God is going to be calling you. God is going to be pulling the strings of your heart for you to come into His presence. And as you hunger and thirst for His presence, I know that God will bring the waters for you to drink. Father, this I have prayed, believing in my heart that there is somebody who is going to receive it tonight. And when they begin to act upon that which you have revealed to us, their life will never be the same. Move them from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from one dimension of understanding to another, as you reveal yourself in a greater and mighty way. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Father, supply every need according to your riches in glory. Supply every need according to your riches in glory. And I declare that this is the day that you have made. We are going to rejoice, and we are going to be glad. We are going to rejoice, and we are going to be glad. I want to say that one more time. We are going to rejoice. I'm not saying we might, but I'm saying we are going to rejoice. Because it is God who has made this day. And you know that your God doesn't make something just for the sake of making it, but there is a specific purpose for that day. Somebody say amen, amen, and amen. Now, I have to tell you, my name is Perkins Masamba. I'm calling from the Houston area. And I always say in Houston, that's where the Holy Spirit abides. That's where He dwells. So, we thank you for coming to be on the prayer line tonight. We thank you for your obedience to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. And I believe that you have received. If you want more information about me, you can go to my website, mudiwa.org, mudiwa.org. You'll find more information about me. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Tumblr. Wherever there's a social network, I'm bound to be there. My desire is just to proclaim the liberty, to proclaim the name of Jesus to all those that hear, to all those that have ears to hear, let them hear. I want to let you know that God is changing lives. God is changing lives. There may be challenges here and there, but I want to let you know that God is changing lives. Somebody say, God is changing lives. Somebody is changing lives. Now, when you say that, just make this declaration. God is changing my life. 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 God is changing my life.